We go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Ah, you got a little thing. You don't have to memorize the books of the Bible. Cheating. It's like the taking a calculator to the math test. It's very cool. So, in 1 Peter, pick it up in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He hath begotten us. You know, that word begotten is, you're born to it. He is the one who birthed you into this lively hope. And I think a lot of people, when they read that word begotten, depending upon which version you use, and they don't think of that. He has literally born you into and sealed it unto this lively hope, and it's by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, and it's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, you're kept by the power of God through faith. God promised it. Every promise he has made, he's keeping. The way you attain it is through faith. Now, the word faith, I always had a hard time with this word faith. You know, it's like a religious term. It's simple. Faith is a noun. Okay, number one. Noun is a person, place, or thing. And it happens to be a thing. It means confidence, trust, faith. They're all synonyms. You have this salvation because of your confidence, because of your trust in what God has said, what he has done. You know, it's yours as long as you keep that confidence and trust and you don't turn your back on it. I want to show you something else here. And it's ready to be revealed at the last time. It's coming. The Lord's coming back. And when he does, you're going to be raised. All right? Or changed. If you're not dead, you're going to be changed. If you are dead, you are going to be raised. When you get raised, you get a brand new body. Not flesh and blood. It's called a life-quickening spirit. You're going to have a body like unto his glorious body. Remember, you could pop in and out, go from place to place. He cook fish on the beach for his guys after his resurrection. You know, Thomas wanted to see the holes, and he said, hey, you want to see some holes? I got some holes. So the little glimpse that we see of the resurrected body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the body that we're going to have. And he was Jesus. You are going to be raised. You're not going to be, you know, some disembodied spirit. That's a different religion. You know, you're not going to be, you know, some ghostly kind of figure just hanging around in the clouds smoking a 50-cent cigar. Remember they had that in the cartoons? With wings. They got a lot of different things that people have pictured what it's going to be like. Well, the picture you get if you read is that you're going to have a body like unto his. And you get this if you keep the faith. You trust in him. and got by the power of God is yours. He doesn't fail. Go to verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Okay? Get strong in your head. Be sober and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation, at the revealing of Jesus Christ. It's be strong. You know, this life is just, you know, actually I skipped a verse that we should go back to. Go back to verse 7 of chapter 1. Verse 6, it says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You know, there's a time life isn't easy. Anybody noticed? It's not always easy. It's good to be boring, you know, sometimes. I know that's a hateful word for a lot of people, but it's nice when everything is just cool and nothing's going on too much. But then when it goes on bad and it gets bad, you are faced with these many temptations. They are temptations for you to lose your faith. They're temptations to rip you off from what you have been promised and given. They're temptations to rip you off from what is yours to have as God has promised, right? Though the trial of your faith, verse 7, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, you stay faithful to this word, praise, honor, and glory when he returns. When he returns. Is that something to look forward to or what? And you got to choose, because it ain't easy to stay faithful. It is not. If it was so easy, we wouldn't have to be encouraged all the time. Stay faithful. It's it's not that easy. And there are many manifold temptations. Many, 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 many temptations. Temptations to... Oh, for crying out, you know, in life. And then others that you get discouraged because things, I thought I was doing good. What happened? And it hits you. It hits you like a truck. So get up. There's no place else to go. But it's your faith that God's talking about. It's your faith. If you don't have faith, if you don't have a confidence and trust in what he has said, you got nothing to stand on. And that's why most people have nothing to stand on. They make up stuff, fairy tales. You have to have the word, and that's the other part of this that I want to bring to your attention. He says, gird up, back to 13 again, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. You have to have something to put in that mind to gird it up with. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that it is to be brought unto you but at the revelation, the revealing of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so you be holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Conversation is behavior. In your behavior. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And if... you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judged according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning, here in fear. Past the time of your sojourning, after you're dead, he's going to judge. You know, we're sojourning in this life. After the time of your sojourning, he's going to judge every individual according to what they've done. You got something, you have faith. You keep that faith. You are delivered. You've been transported, it says in Colossians, you have been transported into the kingdom of his dear son. You've gone from darkness unto life. You hold it. Okay? Guess what? Somebody, Lord says, forgive, right? So what do you got to do? What's so hard? You've been forgiven of everything. What's so hard for you to give it to someone else? What's so hard to love? Is this so painful to love instead of hate? Is it so painful to walk in light instead of darkness? They don't seem to be bad things. It's not like this Christian life that we have is, oh, the drudgery. You know, it's just so strict and so terrible and so drudgery to be a Christian. Oh, I'm just held down. I can't have any fun. You're a moron. That is not Christianity. It's the truth. This is the joy of the Lord. What is so hard about love and life and happiness and blessings? They just look at it like, I remember what I used to think. I thought, you got to be crazy. You want to be a Christian. You have no fun at all. The truth of the matter is, since I've been a Christian, I have more fun than I've ever had way back when. I'm free. Ain't full of darkness, hatred, bitterness, envy, strife. You know, I mean, it consumes people. You watch the people on the job they work with. It's every little petty, envious kind of thing that can go on goes on. You guys that are retired, you remember, right? When you know, one up. Everybody's got to one up somebody. Everybody's got to undercut the other one. Why? You're all getting paid. You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense, but that's the nature of man. That's what they do. So we're doing this as obedient children. Obedient children. We're not fashioning ourselves according to the former lust. We're not living the life that we used to have in our ignorance. See? Verse 17. And if you call on the Father, if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work past the time of your sojourning, hear in fear. This is important. You know, this is not something to play with. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and as gold. You didn't have to pay for your salvation with money. That's not what it cost. For your vain conversation, your vain behavior, received by traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot. That's what paid the price of your salvation. You were bought back. You belong to the devil. And everybody who does not believe, according to God's word, belongs to him. You were bought back with his blood. That cost God and cost our Lord so much. Think about it. It cost so much. It was not cheap. You are very loved. And yet, the devil would have you talk yourself out of that. It didn't come cheap, though. It's by grace, but grace is not cheap. It cost Jesus his blood, his life, miserable death. It was with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained for before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do we believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Just love one another. That's all God wants his kids to do. See, if you're walking in love, you're not walking in evil. You don't have to say, well, I don't want to sin this sin tonight. I'm not going to sin that. I'm not going to do it. You know, it's like, I'm not going to go on a diet. You make your thing in January 1st. Okay, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I can't eat. You know, and you fail that one every time, right? And then, or you want to quit some other bad habit that you got. I'm not going to do that. Just forget about the not. I'm going to love. And everything else takes care of itself. I'm going to walk by the Spirit, and therefore I don't walk by the flesh. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to walk. You know, now there may be areas of your life that you want to specifically practice until you get so good at it that you don't have to think about it anymore. Now, because, you trained yourself when you were young. Your button gets pushed when this thing, particular thing, happens to you. It's like, I remember, if you stuck your finger in my chest, you automatically went to the ground. I mean, I didn't care who you were, how old you were. You stuck your finger in my chest. Right in the nose, you got it. I trained myself for that. It took me a little while not to react to that thing. It's a training you go through in your head. Yeah, okay, no, not. I think about it, but I'm not doing it. And I still, every once in a great while, I have to remind myself, right, this is not the biggest insult that you're ever going to get in your whole life, McCabe. Chill out. But if you choose to go back on the thing, if you choose to walk in love, you're not going to be selfish in sin. All sin is selfishness. You were born selfish. Take care of me. Baby cry. Take care of me. You grow up, you're still a little selfish. You got to learn not to be. And, we get old. Hey, isn't it about me now? Ain't I spent enough years there taking care of you all? Ain't you supposed to take care of me? No. They're supposed to love you, and you're supposed to love them. Got God to take care of you. He was called before, our Lord was called our sacrifice, our Lord, with his blood, he was called before the foundations of this world. God had him in thought, and this was going to be how God saved us. Verse 21, who by him do we believe in God that raised up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart and do it white hot, fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, but by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This word of God is the incorruptible seed. You live by it, you are born again. It's the word that's the seed. Without the seed, there's no faith. Just like asking God to give me, I don't do this stuff, but, I got grass, right? I can't ask God, put grass on that dirt without seed. You got to have the seed. You got no word, you got no seed, you got no fruit, you got no plant, you got no confidence, you have no nothing. You're on your own. You can make things up as you go along, but you're on your own. When you have the seed, which is the word, you are changed. You are born again. And you can live a new life, a life of joy and blessed, and whatever challenges come your way. You know, it's just like we sang in that song, we're part of the family, okay? If one's got trouble, we got the victory because we're going to stand with one another and we'll be with one another and we'll help one another and pray for one another. You don't have to worry. We're part of the family of God. God's my Father. Born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by that word of God which lives and abides forever. For all flesh, all of our lives, flesh is as grass, and all the glory of men is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This word, this gospel, this seed, this message. It says, have faith, right? But if you don't have the word, you don't have any. You may make stuff up, and people do. But it's not God's word. If you you take directions from somebody, you ever get lost and you need to find directions, right? And so you go to the gas station. This is what you did before you had a cell phone, all right? You go to the gas station. Now everybody listens to the lady in the box, right? She ain't always right. I can guarantee you. She sent me to West Virginia when I wanted to go to Virginia. So 80 miles out of my way. You go to the gas station. The guy's been there a long time. You ask him like he's an authority, right? You ask him like he's an authority of how the whole map of his town. Now, I want to tell you something. I couldn't tell you, two blocks from here, I couldn't tell you what the name of the street is in any direction. The big ones I got in my head. All the other ones, not so much at all. All right? I've had people stop and, do you know how to get to Whitaker? And I don't know where Whitaker is. I've been living here 20 years. I have no clue where it is. But, you know, so you stop and you, you know, he's got a gas station. He must be an expert. You can put your faith in what you perceive to be an expert. It ain't no guarantee that you're finding your destination. The only place that you can put your faith absolutely is in what God says. And it's because you prove it time and time and time and time again. And the proving of your faith brings joy. But you got to prove it. Go to Psalm 107. This word will change your life. It'll change your life in so many wonderful ways. Verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them out of their destruction. God has promised that he sent this word to heal his people. And we're not just talking about physically, we're talking about in every possible way, completely. And to deliver them out of their destruction. And in case you hadn't noticed, this world is a train wreck. It's a train wreck. I mean, you have the natural stuff that goes on, right? But then you have the self-inflicted stuff, the drugs, you know, the hatred, the drugs that people use. I mean, they ruin their lives. And for what? To get off just for a moment? Just for a moment? They trash the whole thing? You know, he sent his word to heal his people, to deliver them out of their destruction. Proverbs chapter 4. So this is a word that you can trust. I think Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. You know, lean into it. Listen hard. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. You got the word in your heart, keep it. You have to, because it gets ripped out. It gets ripped out all the time. It's challenged all the time. You keep it with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You got the word of God in your heart. You got, those are the issues of your life. You got evil in your heart. That's what's in your life. Remember Jesus Christ, by their fruit you shall know them, right? Whatever you're doing. Now this is a wake up call, look in the mirror kind of thing, you know? I'm not talking about when you're here. Everybody's like, you know, pretty cool when they're here, right? I'm talking about your normal everyday life, right? If you're moaning and groaning and this and that and yelling and screaming. And this is what's in your life. You're negative, and it's like the doomsday cloud is always around you. This is where your life is at. Stop it. I mean, Mary and I know there was this one lady we go, when the kids were little, we'd go visit the family, and there's the one lady was the dark cloud. She was always there. She was the friend of my kid's step-grandmother. And she was just like, you walk in the room, and it was like, I mean, the woman was just the cloud. You know, it was always raining on her. And it was just remarkable. And it was intense. And when she left, everybody was happy. I mean, it's spiritual. My point is, you don't like what your attitude is? You don't like your life? Change your mind. Change it. What's so bad? What's so bad? Are you not loved? Do you have food on the table, a roof over your head, warm bed to go and crawl in at night? Do you have, you know, I mean, are you suffering so terribly? Is somebody beating on you every day? Well, if they are, then move. My point is, you choose. And you can truly choose what you think at any given moment. You know, when the kids were little, I used to tell them, change your mind. And if they did, and it was dramatic, they went from crying to happy in a few seconds. And it's just because they chose to change their focus, their mind. We can do that. You can count all of your things that are bothering you, or you can start counting all of your blessings. We sing that song a lot. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And I tell you what, your blessings, if you start counting them, are a heck of a lot longer. And a lot bring you so much more joy into your heart at that moment than the few things that are really not so good. It's perspective. But you gotta hide that word in your heart. If you don't got the word, if you don't have the seed, you will not have the fruit of it. Go to, I want you to go to Romans 10. We'll switch gears here a little bit. God can give his people everything that they could ever possibly have wanted. And yet, they can choose not to do it his way. This is the difference, I guess, between what we're going to read here, Israel and religion and real faith. Okay? Chapter 10, verse 1, Romans. Brethren, my heart's desire, this is the Apostle Paul's heart, his desire. It's also the Lord Jesus Christ's desire and God Almighty's desire, because God had him write down these words. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. They were tremendously zealous. They still are, a lot of them. But not according to knowledge, not according to God's word. Just because you got zeal, just because you look religious, just because you think you're talking to the... If it ain't according to what it says, you got the wrong directions. You're going to end up in the wrong neighborhood. Now, that's Let's just read. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believe. The Jews continue to want to follow the law of Moses, right? They continue to think that if I do these things, I will be saved. They're not doing it God's way. God gave them the law to show them that they needed a savior, a substitute offering. Everything about the law was to teach them about the coming Messiah and what he would have to do. And by the way, Jesus Christ boiled down the whole law being this, to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. If you did that, you did the whole law. But they went about trying to do and make their own righteousness. I am going to be so disciplined. Remember the Pharisees? You know? I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all. Thank God, thank you that I'm not like other men, adulterers and, you know, this and that. And especially thank you that I'm not like this sinner here, this publican. And Jesus said, the publican, he wouldn't so much as lift his eyes up towards heaven. And he beat on his chest and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, this man went down justified. The publican went down justified to his house rather than the other. You think you're hot? God should move over and give you space? If that's your attitude, you're so religious, so... You know, you got it all. I mean, that guy had it all together. He looked good. He had the prayers locked out right. He had the tithes down right. He had, you know, he wasn't sinning like a trooper. He wasn't doing this or that or the other thing. He looked as squeaky clean as you can get, and yet his attitude towards God is, I thank you, I'm not like other people. Well, you get nothing from this God. Because you're thinking about doing it yourself instead of accepting what his son has done for you. You follow me? That's God's righteousness. You believe what, you humble yourself before Almighty God. You believe what his son has done for you, because you and I were not ever good enough to come before him. We pray to him in the name of Jesus Christ, not in the name of John McCabe. Like he owes me something. I come before him in the name of my Lord. It's my belief in the word, the gospel that's been talked about, that the precious blood of Jesus Christ has redeemed me from my sins. And I keep that faith unto the resurrection and the return, the revealing of our Lord and Savior. That's what we read in Peter. These guys went about to do it their own way. Are they nice people? Sure. Just because you're a nice guy don't mean nothing. The guy in the gas station that gave you directions is a nice guy. Don't mean nothing. It's the wrong place. They're ignorant, verse 3, of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believes. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. You live by them. And if you broke one, you're guilty of breaking the law. And the penalty for breaking the law was death. So when you said to mom when you were a little kid, all right, oh, sure, mom, I'll do it, and then you don't do it, you disrespected your parents. So who's not guilty? And that's just being a simple little silly example. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, saying, say not in thy heart, who shall this ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend from the depth? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what saith? Don't say this. Don't say that. How am I going to find out the will of God? What do I got to do? Bring Christ down? What do I got to get him up from the depths? You know, to make this plain? No. What said it? The word is nigh thee. What did the scripture say? The word is nigh thee, even to thy mouth and in thy heart. This is the word of faith which we preach. Don't say, hey, oh, who can possibly know? What do I got to do, bring Christ down from heaven? Get him up from the dead? I mean, I got to get him right here. Don't talk like that. Silly. I could say something else. Silly. What does it say? It says it's near. This is the word that you've been heard of. I mean, this book's been around for a long time. It's near. It's not invisible. Most folks still don't read it. That's their choice. Just like you want to try to do this on your own without reading it. You want to try to really figure the directions out in life without understanding. It's nigh. What said it? The word is nigh thee, even to thy mouth, and it in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is the synopsis of the entire gospel. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Those are the two, Christ and the resurrection. That's the synopsis. It's not the magic words that you got to say to get saved. It's the synopsis of the gospel that you have to believe. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. That's the righteousness that God wanted. He believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed or disappointed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. God's got no plan for the Jew or the Gentile. You call upon him, you're his child. Just because the Jews at that particular time, and maybe still so, and maybe other people of other religions, think that they got to work out their own righteousness in order to be good with God and not accept Jesus and what he did. Well, they're working out their own thing, and it's not the Lord's thing. They're not doing it according to knowledge, it says here in Romans 10. You know, that's why when someone says to me, well, is this the only way? No, this is God's only way. It's not my opinion. I just read the book. You don't like it? Figure it out for yourself. I read the book. I believe what's in the book. I hide what's in the scriptures in my heart. You think that that means I'm looking down at you? Go ahead. Think what you want to think. It's not ruining my lunch. You follow me? There's so many people out there today. Oh, if you're a Christian, you are judgmental, this, that. I'm just reading a book. I'm not better than you. I'm a sinner, but I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I got joy. What do you got? You're worried about what I think? You got way too much time on your hands. You follow me? They went about doing their thing because this is what they thought. This is not what God wanted. What did he want? This word is easy. It's right here in front of you. These are the two things most important, that you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord. You believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. That is the essence of the gospel message. And anyone, Jew or Gentile, calls on him, they'll never be ashamed. They'll never be disappointed. He's got no favorites. He wants people to believe. He's got to give them the seed of the word so that they can bear the fruit. You take directions from somebody else, somewhere else. You got your little crystal. You got a pet rock. You got whatever you got. That's what you got. You know, it better have what you think it has. Because if it ain't, as far as I am concerned, he sent his word to heal them. That's what it says. That's what I believe. And that sometimes in this world that we live in is all you got to figure out. What do you believe? Because if you expect everybody in the neighborhood to like what you think, they don't. They didn't like what Jesus said. They killed him, remember? For the scripture says, verse 11, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? This is why I start. Without the seed, you got nothing. You can't call on the Lord to save you if you don't know nothing. How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody's got to tell them. And how shall they preach except that they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. That's how faith comes. Has everybody believed? No. They didn't all believe back when. They don't all believe today. What do you believe? What do you believe? That's what comes down for you and me. I'm not better or above. I just needed a savior. Actually, I think less of my ability to save myself than other people do. I just needed a savior. I took God at his word. I believe it. If this is wrong, I'll be dead wrong. But this has proven itself to me over the years, time and time again. It is right and righteous and powerful. And it comes to pass. That's why I have no doubt. I have absolute confidence and trust that what God says in His Word, He will do. But you need the faith, and that faith has got to be in something. And Jesus Christ said that this seed, all right, being born again, not of corruptible seed, worldly information, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. That seed is the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's what I wanted to share with you.